Welcome back. La Liga has resumed after the winter break, although no one seems to have told the Sevilla fans. Was it raining? Better stay home then. I hope they remember to put a roof on when they rebuild that stadium. Barca went 7 points clear on Saturday, winning the derby at Espanyol. I don't know the rules. Obviously, keepers now are obliged to celebrate every save they make. But if you make a save against your old club, then what do you do? Yes, Joan Garcia was Barca's hero before Dani Olmo popped up with a spectacular goal. Let's hope that's not his one match for the month. Real Madrid responded by hammering Betis with a magnificent hat-trick by Gonzalo Garcia. You know, I always knew it was Kylian Mbappe holding them back. I think we said it on this podcast. Xabi Alonso should go the whole hog and drop Thibaut Courtois. You know, earlier when I said La Liga's back, well, now it's stopped again so that four clubs can go to Jeddah and play in the Spanish Super Cup. Iñaki Williams was diplomatic, described the situation as shit. It does give third place Villarreal the opportunity to cut the deficit because the poor, pitiful fools have to stay at home and play Alaves like the kids whose parents didn't pay for them to go on the school trip. Borja Iglesias has a New Year's resolution. He's trying to win more penalties because he hasn't done that well enough in the past. And we will be asking questions. We'll see if you remember what happened before Christmas. Now, who's the Oviedo manager? Terry, don't you know who the Oviedo manager is?
I've got it written down in front of me. I still need to write them down.
Yeah, but you don't know who the Man United manager is, though, do you?
So, no.
Yeah, you don't know everything.
Chelsea manager.
Yes, there was crazy English clubs always sacking their managers.
Yeah, yes. There was a few things I was going to come back at there, but I'll recollect them as we go along. That was brilliant intro.
Yes, thank you. I'm not legally bound by anything in the intro.
When you said Joan Garcia, I thought you were going to say, is it legal to pick your teammate out and throw him at a striker who's going to shoot on goal? And that was hilarious because if you look at Gerard Martin's face, he's going to close the shot down. And then just gets thrown and shoved by Joan Garcia. And the slow motions, and they were magnifying it on the TV in Spain last night. It's like something scared the life out of him. His face is... Joan Garcia, not only capable of making saves, but picking a teammate up and throwing him at a forward. That was the pinnacle of Joan Garcia's performance.
Yes. Shall we start there? Because that was Barca extending their lead in the Saturday game, wasn't it? But boy, they had to work for it, didn't they? The goals came late, and Joan Garcia. I think three really good saves. You made seven in total, the stats tell you, but three of them you thought, what? You're thinking, well, that's probably going in, and then he makes the save. So I thought he did tremendously well. I've got a question about him, actually. In fact, tell us about the game, and then I'll ask you the question about the transfers in a bit.
Well, he did, and I think also Espanyol. Here's the thing with Barcelona. They've got a fantastic goalkeeper. He makes three outstanding saves. The one from the header was probably the pick of the bunch. But they're not going to be able to do that against better teams. And Espanyol having a great season. But they messed up three or four other attacks where it didn't even end up with a shot on goal. You know, they were outnumbering Barcelona. The percentage of possession was ridiculous. I think 75-25, something like that. Yeah, Espanyol managed to have all those shots and they had other opportunities, which they didn't take because they messed up their lines in front of goal. There was one in particular where it was three against one and the cross was over here and it took his teammate away from goal and the chance just faded away. It was a struggle for Barcelona. They should have been behind. Espanyol should have been leading. Despite that domination with possession, they weren't causing any problems. It's the subs. The subs changed the game from an attacking perspective for Barcelona. I did a post on X, and I forgot to mention Fermin Lopez, but it was the three at the same time, Pedri, Olmo, Lewandowski. Espanyol haven't got that quality to call upon. And Fermin Lopez came on and was instrumental in both goals. So four really good players you throw onto a team in a team performance which was subpar, with the ball, without the ball, they weren't looking like scoring a goal. Then suddenly you change the four players with the quality they have. That was enough for them. The goal from Dani Olmo is a special finish. The movement from Fermin Lopez to create that chance initially was fantastic. He makes the second goal for Lewandowski as well. So the changes, Hansi Flick, it's a blessing. When you're in charge of one of those big teams that's got a load of big players, loads of big name players, quality players, even if the team are playing bad, one or two of them will dig you out. of trouble. And that's exactly what happened. It was a really good performance from Espanyol. Great, great game plan. Just couldn't take their chances either. But they, as I said, they messed them up themselves, or Joan Garcia came to the rescue of Barcelona.
Right. So I think you've answered Alan's question. What a bench Barca have to call upon. Pedri, an impact on the balance of the game. Applaudits go to Joan Garcia, Fermin and Eric Garcia. Brilliant finish by Olmo, who looked as sharp as ever. Great start to the new year. Right. Question from Connor. Do you think Joan Garcia is Barca's best signing since Pedri? Or would you say it's someone else, i.e. Rafinha? But good to see how you rank the club's best signings.
Oh, that's a really difficult one because you're looking at all three. Joan Garcia, he's proved his worth at Espanyol, and he hasn't disappointed since he's been at Barcelona. And I think we saw the evidence when he weren't playing. And Chesney didn't make any horrific mistakes. But the difference between the two is, as you'd expect, one who's retired and Joan Garcia, who's up and coming. So I think, you know, he does make those saves. At the weekend, if Chesney was in goal, they probably scored two or three of those goals.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference. In terms of, I think we need to see it over a longer period for Joan Garcia. Rafinha struggled at first for a number of seasons. And it wasn't until Hansi Flick came in, then we suddenly... I saw the player that all the people I knew from that watched him at Leeds, that supported Leeds, that watched him on a regular basis, were telling me what a wonderful player he was. We didn't see that for a long period. Hansi Flick takes over, and now Rafinha is one of the best players in the world. So it's, and Pedri is just, you know, they've gone from ridiculously cheap. I think it went up over a period of time. I think it went up to quite a substantial amount in the end. Not by Barcelona's standards, of course, but for Las Palmas, I think they got their money's worth out of it. Three great signings. It's difficult to pin one down and say. I would probably go Pedri still. So, but if it's the best since Pedri.
Yeah, since Pedri.
I would probably go since then Rafinha. But in a year or two's time, in 5 years' time, hopefully for Barcelona's point of view, we're saying it's Joan Garcia.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I looked at some others. I mean, they're a bit meh, their signings. Inigo Martinez on a free, obviously can't fall off. And then he was good for them. Frank Kessié, they got him on a free, sold him. So they've done some good business. Yes. So, you know. But 55 million on Olmo.
We all have the same opinion of Dani Olmo.
Yeah.
We all are aware of his quality. It's just he doesn't play enough.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He just breaks down too often.
Yeah, 45 on
Lewandowski's been a good signing.
Yeah, 45. The problem with Lewandowski, there's no resale on your 45 mil, so that's gone. But he's
two titles.
Yeah, and he scored a lot of goals. So, he would quite reasonably say, well, literally, what did you sign me for?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's achieved it, hasn't he? So, yeah.
Koundé, I guess the only thing lacking is a Champions League.
Yeah, yeah. Koundé, 50 mil.
Not a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
It's expensive, but he hasn't been a disaster. Ironic, though, they bought him as a centre-back.
Mm.
He's never played there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vita Roque, 30 mil euros this is, but they sold him for 20-odd, so...
Not a disaster.
It's fine, isn't it? It's all right, isn't it? Yeah, it's done all right, actually. His stats are okay now. And then others...
Christensen.
Yeah.
They come on a free.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'll tell you what they've done in the last couple of years. They've sold quite well. Players that I'd forgotten about that have sold. And you think, oh, yeah, well, that's quite good. There are one or two, like Mingueza, you sort of think, that was a bit undersold, wasn't it? But not many. There's not, there's quite a lot who you sort of think, oh, yeah, I've forgotten all about him. So he hasn't obviously ripped the place up.
I think they've learned the lesson, but they've safeguarded themselves when they let players go young and cheap.
Yeah.
That there's always a add-ons. And I think that's where they've made money in the last two or three seasons.
Yeah, yeah. Right, Darren's got a question point relating to something that you said about Real Madrid's midfield three, lack consistency and understanding. And Darren says you could probably apply the same to Barcelona in the attacking sense. Three different players played in the number 10 position at Espanyol. Rafinha wasn't effective. Olmo and Fermin both came on. Fermin was wide left, Olmo at 10. The last 10 minutes they swapped and they did get the breakthrough. Sensational goal from Olmo. You can tell, though, Hansi Flick is not entirely happy with the overall team performance, delighted that they're picking up wins, especially tough tests away from home. So there's a balance to be struck, isn't there, between it's a long season. We're seeing tired... it's less of a problem with Spain at the moment. Certainly in the English games, we've seen the last couple of rounds have been pretty poor with tired-looking players who look a bit fed up. So you've got this balance between do you rotate to keep everybody fresh, which is very much the modern way, but then again, that means that you don't build up these telepathic understandings.
Yeah. I think with Barcelona as well, I think Hansi Flick has it in his mind the best front four, and I think the centre forward position is up for grabs. But I think he wants to try and get Rashford playing on a regular basis on the left, Lamine Yamal on the right, Rafinha is the number 10. Then it's a toss-up between who plays up front, Ferran Torres or Lewandowski. But now Dani Olmo's fit, and the performances of Fermin Lopez as well. The number 10, it isn't a problem for them, Barcelona. It's a problem for Hansi Flick to choose the right one. Hmm. And I don't think it is Rafinha. And I think Rafinha is better on the left, which then means that Marcus Rashford doesn't play. And that probably is the solution. As I say, Ferran Torres, Lewandowski, it changes on a weekly basis. When Ferran Torres plays against Espanyol, you're thinking they miss Lewandowski. Against a team that sits deep as well, that drops off deep, and there's lots of crosses going into the box. When Barcelona cross it to Ferran Torres, he's okay in the air. He's not Lewandowski. You know, Lewandowski, it's not just about being bigger, it's his movement in the box to attack crosses and get on the end of things. But when it's, you know, if a team decides to play a little bit higher against Barcelona, then Ferran Torres is probably the better option. So I think that's going to be an interesting choice for Hansi Flick. When he plays Lewandowski and it doesn't work, then he brings on Ferran Torres and he scores a goal. And then you think to yourself, no, it's time for Ferran Torres to be the number one striker. And then the next game, it reverts round. So I think that it is a dilemma for Hansi Flick. And he's had some concessions to make in terms of Gerard Martin now being the left-sided central defender. Araujo is back in training, so we'll see what happens with him. Hopefully he's back to his old self. He should be an asset to Barcelona, but he hasn't been for a while. And Eric Garcia playing as a holding midfield player. It does work, to be honest. I mean, it's... And he's playing well. You kind of think, could he play the left-sided centre-back role? You know, he drops in, he plays right-back, centre-back, holding midfield. I still think De Jong and Pedri are the best pairing for Barcelona in central midfield.
A question from Kelvin. Happy New Year to you as well, Kelvin, by the way. He said, right, so he didn't go without his football. He really enjoyed watching West Brom against Bristol City. Who commentated on that, Terry? It was you and me together. Yep. Thank you, Kelvin. He wants to ask about Tyrese Dolan. Been really impressive in 6 months in La Liga. Very quick, hardworking. What else does he have to improve on? Do you think Espanyol will be able to carry on their fantastic season and get Europe? I think so, as long as they avoid injuries, he says.
Yeah, it's a relatively small squad. First and foremost, Tyrese Dolan. I did see him. I did a couple of games when he was playing for Blackburn. And I thought, you know, he's sharp and lively and works hard. I didn't imagine that I was going to be commentating. I mean, the following season, playing for Espanyol. I'm interested in the background, how that move happened. Where did Espanyol scout him? Was he put into Espanyol by an agent? I'd love to know the mechanics of how that worked. Because there are players in the Championship that can do a good job in La Liga. And he's proved that. So it'd be interesting to see if any other clubs in the league look at that and think, oh, it might be worth us, you know, looking into the Championship. Some big clubs in there. And it must be an attraction for someone like Tyrese Dolan. His contract was up at Blackburn. The offer was there from Espanyol to go and play in La Liga, to play in these games against Barcelona and Real Madrid and Atletico and experience something new in terms of your football and develop differently as a player. So I'm so pleased to see him doing so well, because at the start of the season, he was in and out of the team, only for two or three games. But he when he did come on as a sub in those early games, the crowd took to him straight away, because he does all those things that you a supporter likes to see. He works hard. He loves a dribble. He's really good at dribbling. He's taking on opponents. And he's played a big part in how Espanyol have done so far this season. I think he's been fabulous, and I've really enjoyed watching him. And I've enjoyed watching Espanyol. At the weekend, they were a bit different to normal. in the past 3 or 4 years when they've been in La Liga, they've been a dull watch. It's been a half-empty stadium because the football hasn't been very good. They haven't been able to get many wins. There was no interest in the club, very little interest in the club as well from the fans. And then all of a sudden, with the new owners, some new signings, a manager that surprised us all. Now you're looking, when the Espanyol play, I enjoy watching Espanyol play this season. The atmosphere in the stadium is far better than it was. There's interest. There's a buzz around Espanyol now. So I think they can get European spot. I mean, we're nearly halfway through for some of the clubs. And, yeah, when I look at the points gap to the teams below, I think it's a healthy position that Espanyol are in now.
Real Madrid 5, Betis 1. I think you messaged me when Mbappe was injured. We were thinking, oh dear, oh dear. However, it turns out they didn't need him at all, Terry. He was holding them back. Gonzalo Garcia, what a hat-trick.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
Absolutely fabulous. Yeah. And I said in COCOMs, it's life-changing for him. Mm. Because as a young player at a big club, any top-level club, whether it's La Liga or the Premier League, Liga and Serie A, if you're on the fringes for a while, which he has been, there's a fine line between you actually getting an opportunity and playing and making the most of it. You might get an opportunity and it might not go your way. Then you find yourself leaving and going off and playing on loan somewhere, and then you work your way down either that division if you're lucky, or you end up playing in a lower division. The fact he's been able to have such an impact, and the evidence was quite flimsy. I wasn't sure how good he was. We saw him in the Club World Cup. I have to be honest, I don't take too much stock on that competition. He's been coming off the bench for most of the games this season, the most of his appearances so far this season. That was a fabulous hat trick. The first goal was a standard centre forward header. We'll talk about Betis in a minute. The second goal, when he chested it up, I'm thinking, go on, son, volley it. And he did. And it was the perfect connection, the perfect strike. And then the last goal was a really stylish finish. So 5 goals for Real Madrid all came from the academy. We don't say that often. I mean, it's been a long time since they had a regular goal scorer from the academy. I'm guessing Raul is probably the most obvious one. Trying to think of any other youngsters, Vinicius and Rodrigo, they bought as youngsters, but officially coming through the academy, such as Asensio getting his first ever goal, Frank Garcia scoring a goal, Gonzalo Garcia scoring a hat-trick. That was a big day for Real Madrid. And I'll talk about their performance. They go from brilliant to diabolical in the same game of football. To the extent that Vinicius was electric in the first 20 minutes and Betis was struggling like mad to contain him. Angel Ortiz was the young right back. Probably was a mistake to play him, to be honest. I think if Bellerin was on the bench, he'd come back from injury, probably should have been. Or even Ruibal, I think a more experienced player. Vinicius must have looked at that before the game. I thought, I'm up against a young player, he hasn't played too many games. And he for 20 minutes, only 20 minutes, he tore him apart. Then after that, Vinicius, he dropped off. And Betis were poor. I think that was one of the poorest performances I've seen from Betis this season. To the extent when it's 3-0, and I hate doing that with 25 minutes to go or whatever it was, saying that's the points done. I really try not to say it. But I couldn't see any hope for Betis in that match. They didn't look like they had any hope whatsoever. And then Cucho Hernandez, who was their best player, along with Ruibal, by a mile, creates a goal, scores a goal, and then for 10 minutes, you're thinking, if Betis score again here, and you probably thought, they're going to score again here. Riquelme comes on. Hmm. Courtois makes a great save. Then Riquelme hits the post. The roof on that building would have caved in if Betis had got a second with 10, 15 minutes to go. As it ends up, it's a 5-1 victory. Everything's in the garden is rosy for Real Madrid. But they've got to be more consistent. And I mentioned, as I was commentating, that you look at their midfield players, there's a team there to be had. A midfield balance that can be on a consistent basis. The three that played yesterday, all top-class players. Valverde's playing right-back, so you've got to add him into midfield as well. There is a base for a team there. Those midfield players that Real Madrid have, they're not Kroos, they're not Modric. But in the modern game, they've got the quality, they've got the physique, they've got the presence, they've got the power to match any midfield in the world. So that's the issue that Xabi Alonso has to deal with. I mean, you can play to four of them. Tchouaméni at the base of a diamond, Camavinga, Valverde in front, Bellingham off the front, playing as the top of the diamond. But then you've got two strikers. And will it be Mbappe? Yes. Is it Vinicius? I mean, too early to say. It's got to be Gonzalo Garcia. Hmm. He's got to do it more often. But there is a platform, there's a base there for Xabi Alonso to work with. It means Rodrigo might be missing, or does Rodrigo play out front with Mbappe? It's, as I say, there's Real Madrid need to be better. They were good in some periods of the game yesterday. For 20 minutes, Betis were hanging on for dear life. They get to half time, it's only 1-0, only 1-0 down. And then Real Madrid, it kind of was a 5-1, it kind of wasn't a 5-1. It could have been 3-3. It was a weird game in terms of Betis were awful apart from 10, 15 minutes. And as I say, Real Madrid are brilliant and they're not brilliant in the same game of football. So, yeah, every game for Xabi Alonso is high pressure because of the situation. But no one's talking about him getting the sack this week. this weekend.
Yeah, for Real Madrid manager, that's quite good, isn't it?
Well, they play at this game Madrid midweek, so that if they lose that, the pressure piles in again.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting to see Real Madrid and Barcelona weren't drawn together in the draw for the Super Cup.
Chances of that.
Yeah. Right. So you mentioned Atletico Madrid. They got a 1-1 draw away to Real Sociedad. They took the lead. They're only in front for 5 minutes, weren't they? And then Guedes. I think you said something about where all the defenders gone. Or something, Terry.
That's been the theme of the weekend. There's so many games like that this weekend where I'm thinking, well, where's everyone gone? the Betis goal, the two centre halves are falling over each other, and there's no mention of a fullback anywhere near the place. And there was a number of goals, like Villarreal's goals against Elche. Yeah, there was a number of goals this weekend where I'm thinking, but there's literally no defence. Koke was the left back for the equalising goal for Real Sociedad. Defence had gone missing. Real Sociedad's goal, sort of galloping to get on the end of a cross from Simeone. Defence gone missing. So it is. I heard Dean Saunders last week on TalkSport moaning, similar age to me. And I know he actually backed it up by saying, I'm a dinosaur, what do I know? But he was saying that the defenders are not taught to defend, they're not coached to defend anymore. And his other point he was making was there's no one wants to be a centre forward anymore. Mm. And when you watch the game at the weekend, centre forwards, the traditional centre forwards, still stand out, like Gonzalo Garcia, Sorloff scoring a goal in this game, Lewandowski scoring a goal. But the defensive work. Now, I haven't seen the Premier League stuff at the weekend. I'm sure there'll be games there where I see the highlights and watch the goals and think, but where's the fullback or where's the centre back? And it's part of the modern game. But it's bizarre how many times that happened this weekend. Celta and Valencia. Celta got their usual walking goal. I'm really good at that when they're just walking it into the back of the net against a team that's 5-2 in favour of the attack. So it is. But in this game, it was better from Real Sociedad. We have to wait and see whether that's just the effect of a new manager and players pulling their finger out and livening up as they usually do. And I was probably one of those as well when the manager's gone. And you only get one chance to make that good first impression. There wasn't too many different aspects of the game other than the fact they worked harder, worked faster. But Atleti was diabolical. Concerning, I think, now. I think that the deficit is going to be too much. I can't see him making up that gap on Barcelona. Mm. They might be able to catch Real Madrid. They've put themselves in a position where they've dropped so many points against teams they shouldn't be doing. Draws, not too many defeats. And when Barcelona win, Real Madrid win, and Villarreal win, they can't afford not to win. So there's pressure on them. And they played like that, to be honest. They played like they was a team that was full of anxiety. When Sorloff plays, there's too much reliance on, we'll just hit the big lad. Hmm. And he wins every header. And every time he wins a header, the Atletico Madrid players look surprised that he's won a header. I mean, it's incredible. Flick-ons, knockdowns, he knocks balls down in the penalty box and everyone reacts too late. He wins a flick-on, everyone reacts too late. I think they overdo it with the long ball to Sorloff, But if they're going to do that, then your Alvarez and your Griezmann and your Giuliano Simeone and your Alex Baena, expect him to win the header. I mean, he literally dominates. He dominates. I mean, I dread to think what it's going to be like playing against Norway in the World Cup, because he plays up front with Haaland. Because it's such a strength, we're not used to seeing it at the moment. And he looks like an under 21 player playing in the under 15s. He's just a bully. He's a powerhouse. But Atletico don't use him properly. The way to use him is out the goal. Yeah. Simeone get down the flank, putting in a good cross.
Yeah, because then he can score. Yeah,
exactly. Mm. And he was there to see. You still got to give him quality. You can't just lump it up to the big bloke, head on a stick, and try and win knockdowns. If you're going to play that, you don't need Koke and Barrios in midfield. Koke's game isn't about winning knockdowns and 50-50 balls in midfield. But I just thought, and Julian Alvarez is a big concern.
Yeah. Because a long time, he's scoring loads, and we were full of praise for him, weren't we? How long is it now?
He's got 7 goals this season.
Yeah,
no, we're near enough for a player of his standard. He had 2 chances in the first half last night. One of them straightforward technique needed on a volley. He believed he's got that in his locker, and he misses the target. Rushed another chance, missed that one. Was running around in the second half, looking like he had a fridge freezer on his back. Honestly, and you could tell he had to come off. He was blowing. He was just didn't look fit and sharp, and he didn't look his usual self. And then, by the time he comes off, you're thinking, for goodness sake, you've got to put Griezmann on to link the play up. Alvarez wasn't playing really alongside Soloff. He was dropping deeper, which I don't think is his. Just play him up front.
Yeah. So November the 1st was his last goal in La Liga. Scored a couple in the Champions League since then.
I think as well, Phil, who I was working with last night, not sure he scored an away goal. Something like that was the stat that his away form, like Atletico Madrid's away form, is poor. So that is I mean, not long ago you're talking about Atleti making a profit on him because Barcelona wanted him, but Barcelona are not going to have the money to pay Atletico Madrid to make a profit. They'd want a few months ago, you're talking about a substantial profit on what they paid for him. He's got to find that form. Yeah. He looks kind of depressed a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah.
It doesn't look sharp. It doesn't look lively. We know he's a fantastic player, but Atletico Madrid are suffering. He's suffering. And they're just poor. I mean, to score in the way that they did and then to concede as quickly as they did was bizarre. I mean, the centre-back to rushing forward, ball gets turned over. Before you know it, Koke's left back. Takekubo. Koke can't go and tackle him because he knows Takekubo will just knock it past him and run. So he stands off, allows Takekubo time to pass to Guedes. Great nerve, really cool to take that touch. And then from the angle we're commentating on, you couldn't really see the impact of the finish. But then he takes the touch, doesn't he, and belts it, wraps his foot around it into the top corner to beat Oblak. So... yeah, I think it was honours even in that match. I think a draw was about the fair result.
However, Villarreal are doing really well. 3-1 win away to Elche. We've praised Elche in the past, haven't we? So they've got a couple of games in hand. As I said, they've got to stay behind while everyone's away having fun. So a chance to make up the gap. So they've got the same points as Atleti, but they've got 2 games in hand, crucially, haven't they, Villarreal? So, yeah, good win. Good win for them.
Fabulous win. And Elche good. And this was a really good game of football. 2-1, it could have gone 2-0. It could have ended up a draw, but Villarreal was stunning on the break, on the counter-attack. Alberto Molero has been just growing and growing in stature. And he was designated as the new Pedri, which was a bit weird because they're of a similar age, to be honest. But because he was at Las Palmas, looked a little bit like Pedri. They are different players. Alberto Molero is more attacking. He's more of a forward. And the season, he started off the season when he was in and out of the team. And I actually was a little bit concerned that he might not get the opportunities that he was hoping for. But he's now turned into a real star for Vieira. Every goal he scores is top class. They found him a position. He's kind of drifting around wide, but attacking. And the Vieira, can they win the league? I mean, if they win their 2 games in hand on the others, they are really in the thick of it. I mean, if they win, they've got two games in hand, they won 38 points, they'll go a point behind Real Madrid. Can they win the league by not beating Real Madrid, Barcelona and Atletico Madrid? Their answer is probably yes. Because if you look at the teams that Barcelona dropped points to, that Real Madrid have dropped points to, that Atletico Madrid have dropped points to, Villarreal haven't. Mm-hmm. I think they've lost to Barcelona, Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. That's their only defeats. So kind of, can they beat the other 16 teams in the league and get enough points? The answer is yes. So it's they're very much in the thick of it. It's brilliant to see. And Elche were good. It could have gone 2-0 when it was 2-1 to Villarreal. Martin Neto scores a really good goal. Valero's goal was good. Mikitaldi's goal was good. Pedraza deserved the goal because of the forward run. He kind of stumbles on the finish and somehow it goes in. And that clinched the game for Villarreal. But another away win for Villarreal. They're fabulous this season.
Right. So we've got six games left. All of them. Relegation games.
I've done that. Yeah. I've looked at the table. I've got four in for the title, four for Europe, the rest.
Yeah.
From Elche down.
Yes. Yeah. It's so close, isn't it? So Celta Vigo looking good. They got a 4-1 win against Valencia. Valencia not looking good. Fans of the construction industry will be fascinated by Celta Vigo because that grows up. That the stand at the back. Behind the goal to the right goes up bit by bit every time you see them, doesn't it? It's like, oh, let's put another bit in. That staircase there.
Ends of the construction
industry. Yeah, yeah. It didn't make the intro, Terry. So the reference here that I made did make the cut was Borja Iglesias hanging out his leg to win himself a penalty. So he's still...
And refusing to get up, sitting on the floor. I mean, it probably was. He'll argue that he was sticking his foot out to try and touch the ball. There was a touch. But Celta are really good. I mean, they had a slow start to the season recently. They've been in really good form. And they're really good to watch. And he gets two goals. They get their usual walking goal, which, you remember the goal against Real Madrid was a walk-in when they just walked over the line. They've got another one in this game. If 0-0, Pepelu misses a penalty. Hmm. That was pivotal in this match. And I do like the new Celta young player, Jones, is it? He's Moroccan. I don't know how it pronounces.
Yeah, can't help you, sorry.
Jones El Abdelawi.
Yeah.
They paid $4 million for him. He's a Norwegian, Moroccan player, and from Vålerenga. 19 years of age, scores another good goal. It's not his first goal of the season. He looks impressive. So that's the road Celta took, developing their own young players, bringing in... adding players like Borja and Aspas and Mingueza to a degree, and the rest of the young players from the academy and young players that they've bought. I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Celta at the moment, which is I can't say the same about Valencia.
Yeah, yeah. That's the problem. They got a hostile reception when they're back to Valencia, and you can't blame them. I mean, obviously, no. We're not condoning abuse, but you can understand why everyone's angry.
Yeah, it's a massive football club, Valencia, and I'm hearing one or two stories that if they were to get relegated, it's catastrophic. They've taken on so much debt. It really could be damaging for that club. And you can understand why. I mean, we shouldn't be talking about Valencia in a relegation battle, but they are, and it's not the first time they've been in it. It's been this is the third season now, I think, if I'm right. Where they've needed a rescue job at the end of the season. If you've got 18 games and you're less than a point a game at this stage of the season, you're in trouble. Hmm. You're in a relegation battle. And there's 16 points, 18 games played, conceding goals, finding it hard to score. It's really hard. I mean, you look at to look at Valencia and have real, genuine hope that they're going to climb the table. It's tough going for Valencia fans at the moment.
Yes. And for Sevilla fans as well, Terry, who...
Yeah.
I mean, it was raining.
Well, we checked, didn't we, to see if the band was still
yeah,
on.
Yeah, there's not...
The supporters, it's yeah, not. I mean, you need a roof in the stadiums in Sevilla because it's too hot when the sun's out.
Yeah.
And it does when it does rain, it really chucks it down. But the ultras can't be that tough if they're beyond the goal that have just abandoned it. I mean, it's a miserable football club at the moment. It's very similar to Valencia. lack of investment because they can't. The money isn't there. The differences between this Sevilla and the Sevilla of old, and the Valencia, the current Valencia, and the Valencia of old. It's a shame. We need Sevilla. We need Valencia to be vibrant. We need them to be, for the sake of La Liga, they're not anything but. Interesting story this week. I saw Sergio Ramos being linked with a move back to Sevilla. His contract's up in Mexico. And I thought, oh, that'd be interesting. Do you know what? He's probably better than what they got. And it turns out he's heading a consortium to buy the club.
Yeah, good.
So, I mean, that's the modern world we live in now, where footballers go back and buy the club.
Well, it makes sense.
It does.
I remember saying, I don't know if I said it on here before, but Steven Gerrard having this argument with the owner of Rangers about buying some player from like Hibs or someone. I'm thinking, the owner probably be thinking, well, you go and buy him, mate. You're paid $200,000 a week when you're at Liverpool. So, you know, how much money has Sergio Ramos got? He's got more than the guy who owns Sevilla, I think, hasn't he?
And if he's getting a consortium together as well, yeah, and adding, bulking it up with more money. So I do you know what? I'd love to see it. I would love to see. It's going to happen somewhere. And if anyone, it's going to be Sergio Ramos. I guess then Pique would try and buy Betis, just for the fun of it, and make it a real old rival. Yeah, yeah.
And how big is Sergio Ramos's ego? Would he make himself A, manager, B, player manager?
And name the stadium. Estadio Sergio Ramos, player manager, penalty taker, take all the free kicks. It's a fun story. We'd take the mickey out of it. But he probably is better than what they've got. No doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't say anybody because, you know, but there are lots of people who would be better than the people who run Sevilla.
Oh, no, I'm talking about playing.
Oh, right, yeah, right. Yeah. So.
So that was my first thing. Well, if he's coming back again, yeah, surely it can't be a problem financially. He doesn't need to rip off Sevilla. Not that he's ever done that, but come back and play, I don't know, $10,000 a week or something. Token gesture.
There's a minimum wage, isn't there?
Yeah. Play for that if you're Sergio Ramos. But it wasn't that. That's not the story. The story is him buying the club. Yeah. So, it needs a rescue job. Likewise, Valencia needs rescue.
Yeah. A couple of things in this. Matthew Ryan's double save from the penalty. It was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And not just, I mean, the save's not the worst penalty in the world by any means. Great save from the penalty. And then Eze Romero thinks, I could shove the rebound in. I've got away with it.
Yeah.
And he goes to his left and gets to his right. Oh, brilliant goalkeeping. Levante were good in this one. I saw differences. Luis Castro was probably his first game in proper charge. He had the game before the break. Wasn't at the club long. I saw differences. And, a couple of... We had one of those Carlos Alvarez, seeing non-celebration.
It was the weirdest goal, wasn't it? Because he almost didn't want to shoot. And he got shoved in the back, which forced him into shooting, and he scores.
And then refused to celebrate. Yeah. And one sub appearance, for about 12 minutes in 2021. And again, like we joked about, who was it? Someone else did it against Atletico Madrid, didn't they? I think it was a Levante player. They refused to celebrate. Yeah. We looked through the record books. Oh, he played about 3 or 4 games. And Atletico Madrid fans must have thought, why is he? Did he play for us? Well, the Sevilla fans must have thought exactly the same with this one. When he refused to celebrate. Oh, yeah, he came on to 3 years ago for 12 minutes. And you should be celebrating. Levante, they're in trouble, but I expected them to be in trouble. They've got enough quality to be competitive. Change of manager might help. And I like Carlos Espi, who scored the second. He's a young player as well. He hasn't played many minutes this season. He's been given an opportunity. And Karim Tunde looked a really good player as well. Another young player. So Luis Castro chucking in the young players.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on those.
Sevilla, they've got a chance. Levante have a chance.
Yeah. Right, the other winners, a lot of draws, but Girona got a win. We've praised a goalkeeper, so let's now discuss Leo Roman. He has a howler on the first one, crucially, doesn't he?
Mixed bag because he made some other good saves as well. So, he's responsible for the goal from Sigankov, but he wasn't responsible for the defeat. He pulled off 2 or 3 other good saves. Mallorca are a weird team. They've got a small squad, so when you do Mallorca, you're looking and thinking, I kind of know the team. There's about 15, 16 players. They need more. They need more. You know, it's a good start in the 11th, but if they're not under pressure for their place, and they're one of those teams that are slipping up. Girona are hit and miss. You know, it's on their day they can be really good, which they were in this game. There's other games where they've been really good. There's other games that have been absolutely diabolical. So Girona, 18 points, they're in that pack. It's a fantastic win for them, to be honest, against a rival. To win away from home is a good outcome.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's in the pack.
Alaves
1, Oviedo 1. Lucas Boyer with a really good free kick. Fede Vinhas, really nice move, wasn't it, for Oviedo's goal. Referee is obviously paid by the red card because... what's he send him off for?
Yeah, two yellows. I mean, do you see the celebrations in Oviedo score? They've got to stop that. I get it. Yeah. The supporters and the players, not so much the manager in this case, but they've only scored 8. I think they've got the same amount of red cards as they have goals this season. I'm not exaggerating. Mm. I think it's very similar. So celebrating a goal in the way I get it. You know, they're there for more than that. They're not just making up the numbers. They have been dreadful in many of the games this season. Goal scoring is a problem. But they've still got a chance. You know, they get a win here and a win there. When they go 1-0 up, you're thinking, Lucas Boyer. It's amazing football, isn't it? He misses an open goal from 4 metres. He was inside the 6-yard box. An open goal with a header. And he gets the contact wrong and knocks it past the post and it goes wide. And then he scores from 25 metres with 10 players between him and the ball with a wonderful free kick. So it's just amazing that you can miss such an easy chance. As a centre, he's a decent centre forward as well. Scored a wonderful free kick. Probably draw was a fair result in this one. Yes. But it doesn't do either. Well, Oviedo will take a point away from home. Disappointing for Alaves. Started the season well, dropping down the table now.
Yeah. Osasuna 1, Athletic Club 1. Osasuna, another team that could do with a few reinforcements. There's not much below the first team.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's choice. I mean, you do an Osasuna match, you're looking, there's probably 7 or 8 players there that are... you're looking at the bench, it's the same bench, it's the same starting 11. Javi Galán came in. Straight into the team as well. Did well. They look good down the left with him and Victor Munoz down the left flank. Osasuna are a good team. They are in that pack that we're talking about. I don't expect them to be relegated. I think they've got far too much. And I think they'll be okay. Wonderful free kick from Ruben Garcia. Talking point over the weekend was how good Joan Garcia was and another mistake from Unai Simon.
Yeah, because he strikes it well, the free kick. But it pretty much he just missed a straight one, didn't he?
Yeah, well, when you look at it, first of all, you think, oh, that must have moved and swerved and dipped, and it doesn't. And for some reason, Unai Simon seems to leave it till the last minute to believe it's on target.
Yeah.
And then by the time he chooses to make the dive and it goes right above him, and you can tell by the reaction of his teammates, they all turn round and look at him as if to say, well, have you not tipped it over the bar? It's a comfortable tip over the bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not expecting him to hold it, cling onto it, but deflect it over the bar, straight forward. And even Ruben Garcia has a laugh on his face as if to say, how did that get in?
Yeah.
I've hit it with the laces, it's hard, but it's gone in. Gurizeta with a nice, tidy finish.
Yeah.
The draw doesn't do either of them any favours, to be honest. It avoids defeat for Athletic Club. Osasuna would still be hoping to win that at home. Yeah, that didn't do any of them a favour, to be honest.
Yes. We kicked back off again after the break with Rayo 1, Tafe 1, never miss a marketing opportunity at La Liga.
It's and with all due respect, I wonder why La Liga couldn't have played one of the other games on a Friday night. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I can't see any reason. There's Copa del Rey this week. Both of those teams out of the Copa del Rey. Getafe are out, I think. Whether that was one of the reasons why they played on a Friday night. But it's got a Super Cup this week, so they're not playing to the middle of the week. They could have played Real Madrid or Barcelona. Real Sociedad and Atletico Madrid could have been Friday night.
Yeah. No, they have the Fridays and the Mondays, and then never put a decent game. Well, I don't know too rude about it, but they certainly don't target it with their best games, put it that way.
No, it's a lot of the time it's the same teams.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good opportunity. You know, it's a standalone game.
Yeah.
It's not in the Saturday pack. It's not in the Sunday pack. It's a standalone game. Games are fewer and far between around the world on a Monday and a Friday night. I genuinely believe it is a missed opportunity sometimes not to have one of the bigger games on either a Friday or a Monday.
Yeah.
And Rayo continue their stuttering form. Likewise, Getafe. Getafe are just about keeping above it all, but if you look at the points, they're not. I don't expect Getafe to go down. I don't expect Rayo to go down. But when you look at those teams, I keep saying, I don't expect them to go down. Don't expect them to go down. Oviedo and Levante are the obvious ones at the moment. But from then on, and I think Levante and Oviedo have still got a chance. So, yeah, Rayo have done well in Europe, but they need to tighten up in the league and start scoring more goals. The Frutos were a good goal. And I knew it was coming. When they give away a cheap free kick, when you're in the run of form that Rayo are in and you're not scoring goals, you give away a cheap free kick. It was a cheap free kick to give away. And then lovely delivery in Aaron Barry. Just Harry's unmarked at that stage of the game. Nico Perez will be fuming that they give the free kick away and fuming that Aaron Barry's just going between players and headed it, thumped it home with a header back across going towards the far post. So, yeah, that's a huge disappointment. That is for Rayo.
Yeah, yes. Right, we will leave it there, Terry. So the Super Copper to chat about in the week, but we'll do a Patreons only one. And then we'll
be back. Williams as a guest.
Yes.
He made some valid points as well, didn't he? Mm.
Yeah.
About the fans not being able to get there. The true fans, the Athletic fans, because they go most places than the Athletic club. And he did make some valid points.
Yes. Yes. Might have limited his future earning options, though. Yeah, right. So we'll be back. We'll have a chat about the semi-finals of the Super Copa for the Patrons. We'll be back with the slightly diminished La Liga weekly next week. So we'll see you all for that. Enjoy your week, everybody, and take care. We'll see you soon.